Welcome back to the Renaissance Foundation podcast, a podcast about inspiration made by the young people at our youth charity. We support young carers, hospital patients, and at-risk pupils in London. I'm Corey, a member of staff at Renaissance Foundation, and I'll be introducing today's episode. We are so excited to share this fascinating discussion with everyone. It was inspiring, positive, and left us all in a better place afterwards. So we hope you feel the same. We were lucky enough to talk to Christabel Reed, activist, yoga therapist and teacher, co-founder of Advaya and My Eco Resolution, an educational initiative founded with her friend Cara Delevingne. We spoke openly about Christabel's personal journey and what led her to focus her career on education and activism, as well as talking about social anxieties and advice for young people coping in today's uncertain times. Everything we spoke about had an environmental and eco focus, as well as a lot of well-being and spirituality behind it. So we were really inspired by this discussion. This talk was really empowering, and we want to say a massive thank you to Christabel for making time to talk to us, sharing your thoughts and advice, and showing our young people that they can make a difference. I want to say a massive thank you and well done to Ayan for hosting his first ever episode. We know how intimidating it can be, and we think you've done really well. So I'm sure this won't be the last one that you host. Well done, Ayan. Also want to say thank you to the young people that joined the session, asked some really, really good questions and took something positive away. And thank you to the RF staff for organising and making this session possible. And lastly, I want to thank everyone at home for listening to our podcasts. We make all of these ourselves while isolated, and every listen makes a big difference. So if you want to help us to reach more people, please subscribe, rate 5 stars, share it, and most importantly, head over to our website, renaissance-foundation.com. There you can find out how to donate to us. Every donation, no matter how large or small, really counts to a small local charity like us. Now I'll leave you in the hands of our staff co-host, Nisha.
Welcome, everyone. Just wanted to say for the young people who don't have their cameras on, feel free to turn it on. We really want to see your faces. Don't worry about the background. You know, you can add the virtual backgrounds or you can add like a SnapCam filter. Yeah, so most of you guys have been on this long enough to know. Keep yourselves on mute, please, unless you want to speak. And if you do want to ask a question, please do unmute yourselves and don't just put it in the chat. Come on and ask your question yourself. Please only use the private message function if we tell you to. And if you're struggling with coming up with questions, just ask a member of the team. And Ayan, I'm going to hand over to you. Do you want to start with the introductions?
Hi guys, I'm Ayan, and I'm currently doing a DT project, something to do with nature and the environment. So this is actually a very good coincidence. And perhaps I could learn something new and add it to my portfolio and gain a lot more marks. And also just to learn overall and share each other's knowledge on the matter. I nominate Corey.
Oh, I knew you'd nominate me. that was a good answer there, Ayan. Thank you. So yeah, I'm Corey. I'm the media manager at Renaissance Foundation. My favorite subject is film. I study film production at uni, and I love how you can tell stories and learn and make people aware through the power of film, like the video that we just watched. And I'm passionate about learning, sharing ideas with everyone. So I think this is a perfect platform. I'm going to nominate Ose next.
Hello, I'm Ose. I'm part of the Eco Committee in my school, so I really am passionate about the environment, and I'm just here so that I can learn something new, I can take. Heating. Passion. Well, honestly, I like baking. I like sewing. I like everything. I nominate Sat.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sat. Thanks for that, Jose. So my favourite subject is probably football and Arsenal. and then my passion. So I think what's relevant today is my passion, and I think it's probably something that people can relate to, is that growing up, probably from my background, sort of environment wasn't something that people really were focused on, or, you know, it was sort of something we didn't think much about. And then at a younger age, I was really lucky that someone called Robert Swan, who's like an environmental campaigner, took me to Antarctica. And that really changed my life, really thinking about the environment. And I saw something called the Larsen B ice shelf, which is the size of Wales. And it was coming off Antarctica. And that's ice that now will go into the sea and raise the sea level. So I got to see that in person, and you see a place that has people haven't taken over. There's no adverts there, and there's no hotels, and isn't there, you know. So that really got me inspired, and then Robert done a talk for RF, and yeah. So that's what sort of gave me that passion to get other young people interested in this area. So yeah, and then I will like to nominate Sadiqa because you've been really, you know, been really inspiring us about your work and the environment as well.
Thank you, Sat. My name is Sadiqa. I am 21. My favorite subject is geography. I recently have done a bachelor's degree in geography, and I'll be graduating this year. That's one of my passions, I guess. My whole life passion revolves around like sustainability and just understanding more about the environment that we live in, and just trying to find new solutions and like what we can do to inhabit the world we live in, and just sharing the knowledge that I've learned as well. So I'm really excited to be in this call too. And I will nominate Ananya.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ananya. I'm 20 years old. My favourite subjects are I'm studying history and economics, so I'm quite passionate about enterprise. And I'm also quite keen on yoga. And I read that Christopher, you're a yoga therapist, which is amazing and super cool. Really, thank you so much for being here. Recently quite into mindfulness and passionate about that. I'd like to nominate Nisha.
Thank you, Ananya. Hi, I'm Nisha. I'm the fundraising executive at RF. I'm not going to say my age because it's too old. My favourite subject at school was art. And a passion of mine, which I really need to stop talking about at this point, and you all know what I'm going to say, is tie-dyeing. Become obsessed with it over lockdown, and I've just tie-dyed everything that I own at this point. I would like to nominate Rafi, and I think it's going to come in the chat, but Rafi, feel free to unmute yourself as well. Oh, I've got from Rafi. He says, hi, his name's Rafi. He's 14. His favorite subject is French, and he's passionate about playing piano, and he nominates Ayan. Ayan's already gone, so should we go to Jarell instead?
Hi, my name is Jarell. I am 14. And my favorite subject in school is computing, and my passion is playing games. I nominate whoever hasn't been yet.
Rach, do you want to go?
Hi, I'm Rachel. I'm going to anonymize my age for now. My favorite subject, I have to think back when I was at school, probably math, and not that I'm any good at it, so I don't know what that says about my other subjects. And my passion is singing, and I am going to nominate Natalie.
Hi, everyone. I'm Natalie. I'm the very new in-post director of fundraising and impact at Renaissance Foundation. I'm absolutely not telling any of you my age because I've got a feeling I'm about 20 years older than everybody. If I cast my mind back, my favourite subject at school was English. And loved reading and still do. It's a really big passion of mine. Really interested in this talk because obviously the environment and the impact we're all having is a massive topic, and just really excited just to understand more about all of this. And it's just lovely to see you all and get to know you all. So thank you.
I've just seen that. Sorry, Khadisha's written her introduction. She says, hi, her name's Khadisha, she's 16, and she's passionate about talking, and her favourite subject is H&SC. I'm not sure what that stands for, but maybe you guys will know. And Khadisha, let us know in the chat.
I think it's health and social care, I think.
Yeah, it is, health and social care. Okay. I think the only people we've left out is our speaker for today. So I'm going to do like a brief background about our speaker today, Christabel, and then I'll hand over to her. So yeah, Christabel is a yoga teacher and a yoga therapist. She's the founder of Advaya with her sister and the co-founder of Eco Resolution alongside Cara Delevingne. and she's on a mission to link inner transformation with social change and empower people to embark on the entwined journey of inner and outer healing. So thank you so much, and I'm going to hand it over to you, Christabel.
Thank you so much, and I'm really honoured just to be invited as a guest on this podcast, and I really loved hearing everyone's introductions and all the technical glitches, and I love that every time everyone forgets that they're on mute, it's like we can't like remember that we're not in person and that we need to unmute ourselves. It's really sweet. So my name is Christabel Reed, and I guess I'm going to just kind of tell you a little bit about me, about the work I do with Advaya and the work I do with Eco-Resolution. It's not a talk about kind of climate change and the science behind climate change. It's more talking about looking at ways in which we can respond to challenges, with particular focus on environmental challenges and the way that links with kind of what's happening within us as well, perhaps. And I'll kind of just be generally sharing some ideas about how we can all participate in co-creating a just transition to a world that thrives. I will break that down. A just transition to a world that thrives. So co-create, I mean that in order to address the current ecological, environmental, climate, personal and social crises that we face, we can't rely on top-down change. Well, first of all, we have governmental inaction. It's not happening as it should be happening, this top-down change. But also we just do need bottom-up grassroots movements. Activism and change-making comes in millions of different diverse forms, and that's the way it should be. So when we think about co-creating this like more harmonious, thriving life, we can think that we can all participate in that. And it might be in a very personal way about the way that we kind of treat ourselves. It might be in mindfulness, it might be in the foods that we eat, or it might be in engaging in social care work and social justice, or it might be about conservation. The humans are so diverse and that's so beautiful, and I really think we should be championing that. There's no one way to create positive change. Co-creation. Then to adjust transition. So it's really brilliant that for us as much as possible to have vision about the kind of direction that we want to go in, what is the world that we want to be co-creating. But also we need to remember that we need a just transition towards that world. Because if you can envisage a nature-rich, plant-centered, socially just world, how do we get there? And how do we ensure that we all get there in a way that allows us to be increasingly more free, increasingly healthier? So that's a really important part, and justice is really important when we're ever thinking about anything environmental, anything about climate change, because it's something that's been left out for far too long, and I think that's been a failure of the environmental movement, but also really exciting that that is massively changing. And then a world that thrives, I think that's down to anyone to think about what that means for them, really. For me, I think about kind of freedom to kind of embody your natural being. It's not about being anything other than what you are, but not having to do the things that aren't you, if that makes sense. So a world that thrives for me would be about being able, ecosystems and communities coming into alignment with themselves, if that makes sense. Open to interpretation, we'll leave it. So a little bit about me. I have a passion for justice and a fascination for how we create harmony where disharmony has occurred and free ourselves from whatever might be inhibiting our inherent peace and power. So that's, again, based on this belief that it's our natural inclination. It's like our natural state to be in harmony and to move towards healing, to be in balance and to be free. And when we observe nature, we can see it kind of unfold into its fullest potential and natural design, whether that's a flower or a bird or a being. You see it evolving into something, And I believe that humans are that way too, and that we're destined for this kind of natural flourishing and thriving. But we have certain systems which I don't think are natural, which aren't natural. They don't societal systems aren't replicating natural systems. We have certain stories that we tell ourselves or that are told to us, and certain cultural ideas that are preventing us from living with this inherent sense of peace and power in our being and in our interconnectedness with each other. You know, we're all related to each other, we're related to the world around us. When we exhale, the trees are inhaling, when they're inhaling, we're exhaling. So there's a constant cycle always with nature, even when we're in an urban space, everything's been made from the earth. In this way, I see activism and change making as not something that we do, not something that has added on to our life, but something that can become a foundation for the way that we decide to live our lives. And that can be in a very subtle way or quite radical and external way as well. So a lot of this came from getting very into yoga when I was younger, because I suffered and still suffer with anxiety. But yoga really helped me in the practice of yoga and meditation. And I think linking back to what I just said, that sense of interconnectedness only happened to me when I was able to turn down some of the mind stuff and feel a bit more from my body and just actually become very aware of how I am literally connected to my communities, to the communities around me. And, you know, the way that we might be treating the external world is often a reflection of how we're treating our internal world. And just seeing things as kind of mirrored in that way. Yes, I'm getting a little bit tangenty and go back. So I ended up setting up Advaya with my sister. We kind of did this by mistake, but I just felt like there was a lacking of positive spaces where people were coming together to learn together about ways in which they can create positive change. I'm 28 now, so yeah, I started it when I was 23. And none of my friends were interested in the environment. I hadn't been very interested in the environment. And then I had this, something shifted in me, basically. And so we set up Advaya. And with an aim of sort of galvanizing, being part of a movement that was galvanizing, a culture shift towards the radical regeneration of our soil, our souls, and our society. And this work explores like the connections between the economy, between ecology, spirituality, and mental health. And we want to like weave stories of personal transformation, of resistance, and of renewal. And in a few months, we're going to be launching a 9-month course. So do check it out at via.co, and we'll be offering bursaries and concessions. And we want always anyone who wants to join our work to be able to join it. There is very rarely, I don't think there's ever actually been anything to stop people from. So if you ever see anything that you want to join, just send us an email and we'd love to have you with us. So Advaya is based on the understanding that the modern day crises of ecological collapse, biodiversity loss, globalization, consumerism, mental health, a growth-based economy, all fundings, the demise of democracy and a general socio-political breakdown are deeply interconnected. None of these things arise in a vacuum. But it's not all doom and gloom, because not only are the problems interconnected, but the solutions are interconnected too. You know, that we start working on one of these aspects with an awareness of how they're related to all the other aspects, we will be also impacting the other aspects as well. You know, so we, because of our interconnectedness, I believe that, you know, positive change making, even if you think it's really small, it just ripples out across this kind of interconnected web of existence. So we're a systems change initiative and kind of aiming to address these interrelated crises. And so we're very much about deepening an ecological awareness as sort of a foundation of our change making and deepening the understanding of how related we are to the natural world. Community is so important. Whatever networks you can find, building on that community, because capitalism and globalization and consumerism are all things which are drawing us apart from each other. So just, you know, building community is strong activism and change making, looking after yourself, really radical in this world. And we believe in joyful revolution. I think there's this tendency to think of kind of environmentalism and climate change as something that we need to be sacrificing things in order to do. But instead, we can see it as a celebration of our embodied existence. Like, we are powerful. We can actually have a positive effect on the world. And the same systems which are causing, you know, environmental issues and social injustice and climate injustice aren't making us happy anyway. So if we stop thinking about it so much as a sort of a personal sacrifice, a burden that we must take on, and more of it to be something that in which we can unite together in order to take positive action, we can see it as something that's full of joy. We're very much about radical regeneration as well. So this means not thinking just about what is sustainable, but thinking about what is regenerative, because the word to sustainable is about kind of being able to continue on in a particular way. But actually the systems, it's not that they're broken, they're made to not work for people and for the planet. So we need to regenerate these systems in the same way that nature would regenerate itself. I believe about in syncing with natural rhythms, acknowledging how everything changes, how we ourselves are constantly in cycles, and, you know, understanding that our lives and our moods and our mental health is never a linear thing. It's up and down, it's spiraling upwards, it's going downwards, you know, just starting to observe the patterns of nature and stop thinking in such a kind of linear, tunnel-visioned way. I'm very passionate about how we create change. It seems like I've picked up one, both within our lives and the world around us. And again, I just think, you know, acknowledging that everything changes, and you see that in our bodies, you see that in the natural world. And I feel like humanity has got this fear of change, like this kind of stranglehold on change. And I think if we were to be able to let go of some of the systems and ways which are causing destruction, we'd be able to usher in a lot more positive ways of being. And often we can see this in our own lives as well. It's often our fear of change that's preventing us from kind of going and growing into the people that we know in our hearts is possible. Advaya also delves into spiritual practice as well. Big part of me believes that a lack of spiritual framework is often behind some mental health and environmental issues. And for me, spirituality is not necessarily the kind of, about God or institutional religion, although for a lot of people it is. But it's just that, again, going back to that sense of interconnectedness, kind of being connected to something greater than ourselves. And you can remove the word spiritual and just leave it as that as well. It's just that sense of the connectedness that's so often lacking in our culture for young people. So Advaya's been running for 5 years, and we've done over 100 events now, and we're at, you know, a nice point where we're seeking funding and trying to allow that to grow and become a sustainable or regenerative organisation in and of itself, which it hasn't been for 5 years, so working on that. And then earlier this year, my sister and I launched Eco Resolution with Cara Delevingne, and this is an environmental justice platform. So Advaya, as you just heard, it's quite niche, you know, it's very interpersonal relationships and spirituality. And we wanted to set something up that was a little bit more mainstream, that could access audiences that wouldn't necessarily relate to perhaps to what I was just speaking about. So Eco Resolution is on a mission to empower people all over the world to step up rather than shut down in the face of our global challenges. And this year we're going on a kind of journey from tokenism to transformation, from behavioural change to systems change. And this is because a lot of environmentalism, it can feel tokenistic, you know, like, oh, I won't use a plastic straw and I won't use a plastic bottle. These things are so important. But it doesn't stop there. What we need is societal transformation. And anything that isn't societal transformation is not going to be able to address the extent of the climate, ecological, and social, political injustices and crises that we're facing. And again, that doesn't need to be scary. That can be so exciting. What an amazing opportunity and duty, really, we have to go down that direction. So, you know, but with that being said, facing the climate and ecological crises, we feel overwhelmed, we can feel powerless, we can feel too small to make a difference. But we can also kind of unlearn those tendencies to move towards fear and to move towards insecurity and start to seek out actually who else around me might care, how can I be making a difference, you know, and just starting to unlearn these like disempowered ways of being that are learned. They're not, I don't feel that they're necessarily natural to a human being. And so starting to explore new ways of being and acting in the world. And all of this stuff with eco-resolution started after a conversation that I had with Cara, who's an old friend, and she was saying that she wants to be involved in environmentalism and that she's worried about climate change, but, you know, she was like, my whole work and job is often like so the opposite of what an environmental life should be. And so there was this fear of being called a hypocrite, and it really struck me, this conversation, because I realised that to a greater or lesser extent, this is how many of us feel. You know, all our lives are different and we'll have a completely different carbon footprint and et cetera, et cetera. But we are all embedded within a system and within systems which are inherently at odds with the limits, ecological limits of the planet. And I just realized that, you know, someone with, you know, such an amazing access feels too scared to be able to speak out. How many other people are feeling too scared to speak out? And again, we're at this place of fear, and we need to be at a place of compassion and of unity and of education, reflection and action. So, you know, yes, we might be hypocritical. Yes, I'm a hypocrite sometimes as well. But what we need, again, is systems change. We don't need tweaking of behavior. We need something really big. And for that, we need everyone to be speaking up and out and not be so kind of worried about how people might think of us. You know, so it's not about preaching, but it's about learning. It's about reflecting. It's about coming together and keep learning. Where was I from here? this is why systems change is so important. And, you know, like, biggest win of corporations has been the message that it's down to the personal. I think it was, you know, one of the biggest kind of plastics company, Fossil Fuel Industries, which came up with the term litter bug, putting the emphasis on the consumer rather than on corporations. We have so many ocean cleanups, amazing. But we should also be turning the tap of plastic off, which is at their fossil fuels. And yet the fossil fuel companies who produce plastics are aiming to triple their output over the next 3 years in the States. So, you know, it's, yes, we shouldn't buy plastic straws, we shouldn't do any of that. But also, fossil fuel companies, stop, you know. And I think that systems change is something that can be seen as really exciting and something that we can all engage in. And I think I'd like to move towards wrapping up, because I'm not sure if we have just 15 minutes left. I can go on past the hour then.
Yeah, that's great. I think we already have some questions in the chat, which Ayan, do you want to take over kind of co-hosting the Q&A session?
Sure. Let the Q&A begin, I guess. So, but the first question comes from Sadiqa, and it's, can you share some projects that you have created and the outcomes?
Yes. So with eco-resolution, we started off as a hashtag. So the idea was you just put to kind of try and combat this fear of talking out about the positive things that you're doing in your life. You do a hashtag and say, my eco-resolution with the hashtag is to accept whatever it is. And then you tag people, and we got thousands of people doing that over the year. But we then changed it because I wanted to actually stop focusing so much on individual actions, even though those are so important, and kind of go a bit bigger picture. Other projects that we've done are, you know, we've hosted now over 100 different events and gatherings and retreats that are linking in a transformation and outer change. So data-wise, because I'm not kind of about I'm not like kind of ecosystem restoration. I find it really hard to kind of have quantitative data on the outcomes. But we've just been building community and we've had, I think, maybe 8,000 to 10,000 people through our doors, and not that we have a room, but I mean through our event doors. And that kind of thing. And I have also been working with Extinction Rebellion over the past year and a bit, building these regenerative kind of well-being hubs during the rebellion. So it's really important when we're thinking about taking action that we are doing it from a place of, how can I say this? I don't want to say peace, because there is a place for anger as well, but we're not recreating the same violent and oppressive systems that have caused these problems in the first place. And so to do that, we need to be building regenerative cultures, cultures of transformative justice that root out the conditions that have caused, that seed the injustice. And so I've been working with them and within Extinction Rebellion to support the movement, support regenerative culture building, kind of host talks. I don't speak at them often, but I get other people to come and speak and host workshops and stuff.
Thank you for that question being answered. And also, what advice do you have for young people who want to make a positive change but feel like their voices aren't heard or taken seriously?
Really good question. There are loads of youth groups and youth movements popping up all over the world, from Fridays to, you know, for example, Fridays for Future or Exile Youth. I think if you go on My Eco Resolutions Instagram, we did a post today or yesterday about like lots of different youth movements that you can join. Spend a little bit of time on the internet finding where these youth movements and youth groups are. And if there isn't one in your area, think about starting one. I think it's really important, you know, first we look what is already happening. And if there's a gap, maybe you could be the person to step into that gap and create something yourself, find a friend or connect with someone. We are also Eco Resolution. One of our kind of aims and missions is to platform the voices of young people and of anyone who's got a positive story they want to share. We're setting up a network called the Global Network of Changemakers, where we are inviting people, young people, but any of any age, to come and join. And first, it will be a monthly meeting where we either can ask for guidance, we can ask for help, or we might want to be sharing. I think it's important that we stop this binary of I'm a leader, I'm a teacher, or like I need help and I need guidance, and we can both be learning and sharing and supporting each other. So if you feel like you're needing some support in setting something up, Eco Resolution, we'd love to support you. So you can get in touch via our website, ecoresolution.org.
And thank you for that. And there's also another question from Ananya, and that is, hi, Christabel, what impact do you think COVID-19 has had on the fight for climate justice? And what is your opinion on sustainability and certifications like fair trade? Thank you.
Thank you, Ayan. Yes, Ananya, it's a really good question. I mean, it's such a complex question because COVID-19 has affected the whole world and climate justice is so huge and so complex. Like what's coming up for me to say is that I think COVID-19 has lifted the veil for those who might have not been under the veil looking at it straight or living it before, of just how unjust things are and just how unequal and unequitable the world is. And seeing something, you know, Corona is affecting everyone and yet everyone's experiences are so different. Climate change will be the same. It's going to affect the whole world, but everyone's experiences are so different. And I think what has really blown my mind throughout this period of pandemic is that before the pandemic, I genuinely didn't think it were possible for governments to all take action at the same time on something, you know, whether we can critique it, you know, forever, but they all take an action. And that to me proves that it is possible for governments to take affirmative radical action that undermines the growth of the economy, because so often the growth of the economy is put first and foremost, and it should be the well-being of people and the planet, which is the same one and the same in my opinion. And so it's kind of, I think from the perspective of climate justice, it's showing that radical change is possible and that the growth of our economy must not always be prioritized. And the second question, that I could speak a lot more about that, but because it's such a complex question, but I'll go on to the second one. What's my opinion of sustainability certifications like fair trade? I think they're really good. I think it's really important for us, as consumers, to be able to know as much as possible about where our products are from. So I think fair trade is really important. I think that there's a lot of greenwashing, I'm not saying with fair trade, but just general certifications, especially, for example, when it comes to like factory-farmed foods, factory-farmed meats, I mean. You have to be careful about the kind of, the red tractor on like sausages and stuff doesn't mean that it comes from a good farm, like it's still being factory farm. So I think becoming really curious about where our products are from, because everything that we buy has an effect, every action that we take has an effect on the planet. So certifications are a really good way for us to start to see what kind of effect that might be. But maybe we also want to look a little bit behind the certifications and make sure that we're not just buying it because we have a stamp. I notice sometimes I look at two things and one will have a stamp on it and one won't, and I won't know what the stamp is, but I'll end up buying the one with the stamp on. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Just need to look up actually what the stamp means. What a great stamp to look out for is Soil Association stamp, organic foods. As much as possible, trying to support either like community growing organizations, urban farms, that kind of thing. That's really, really great, really good step in the right direction, because our food systems are very detrimental for people and for ecosystems.
Right, thanks for that. So does anyone have any further questions?
I have a question. How can you give us tips on, for example, how we can kind of deal with climate fatigue, especially when we're hearing it so much in the news? I mean, less so now, but when we were. Yeah, is there anything we can do?
Yeah, do you mean, what do you mean by climate fatigue?
Yeah, so just the fact that like, I'm sure loads of people also feel like this, but just the sense of like anxiety you get from just constantly hearing about everything that's going on with our planet, and then the fact that no one's doing anything about it.
Yeah. Yes. I think for me, it comes down to taking action. And as much as possible, becoming aware of the effects of our actions. And I think anxiety happens when we feel powerless and we feel so small. And of that is the case often when we're facing these huge systems. But I think I'm very inspired by the Bhagavad Gita and this notion of not being attached to the fruit of our action. So when we're taking action for the planet, for people, for social justice, we have a vision in mind of where do we want to go? What is the world that we're working for? Which is what inspires us and allows us to like get up in the morning and be like, yes, this is what I'm going to do today, or this is going to be part of my day today. But we don't cling on to that vision so tight that our present becomes fraught with pain, because we can't be in the present moment. Because there is so much joy to be had in this world, in the present. Just the experience of breathing and of quietening our mind and feeling our feet on the floor, like talking to a friend, eating food, drinking water. Like these are really beautiful experiences in life. So I think that anxiety is often this like thinking we need to be something other than, we need to be somewhere other than where we are right now. And so I think as much as possible, our activism being about being in the present in the very best way, showing up to our present moment in the very best way we can in our most kind of, and that doesn't mean showing up always in the same way. Some days you're going to feel really tired and anxious and cry, and that's fine. It's more than fine. And some days you are going to be like, you know, I don't know, or grateful. So there's always going to be this difference. But I think remembering, you know, what direction do we want to go in? We want to create harmony where disharmony has occurred. We want to create order where there is disorder. It's in like the systems which are creating disorder in our ecosystems. But we don't need to cling to that. Like, it's not our response. It's not our whole responsibility. It's a shared responsibility. And I think it's each of our duty to show up in the best way that we can, whatever that is. But yeah, not this sense of clinging, but being excited about the direction that we're going in, seeing it as an opportunity. And also, if we are feeling a lot of anxiety, we are becoming really overwhelmed, take a step back, figure out what's happening within us and how we can resource ourselves with community or practices or breathing or nature, or so that we can build up the resilience, because whatever happens, we need resilience individually and socially and collectively in our movements, in our friendships, in our families. So if we're all trembling, anxious messes, you know, even if climate change does disappear and the environment's fine, you know, we're not going to be living in harmony. So if you are feeling really anxious and overwhelmed, taking a step back and looking after yourself first, because we are a reflection of our planet in that way.
Thanks. Wow, that was really good. And I also have a question for you. And my question is, what achievement in your climate justice journey are you most proud of?
I don't think I have one. I think just like of, I don't think it's an, I can't think of any achievement, but I think just, I feel really happy to be where I am now. I feel really honoured to be part of a continuum. I think this is another thing actually about anxiety, going back to anxiety, is that we often feel like we need to go from A to B, but social justice movements have been happening forever. I mean, we stand on the shoulders of giants, and I feel really honoured to be a small part trying to continue that movement of justice and connecting back with our ancestors and thinking about our, you know, the children and those who will inherit the planet. So I don't know if I can think of it as an achievement, but I feel really lucky that for many different reasons that I am where I am today.
Thank you for that. And does anyone else have any further questions?
I had a slightly vaguely related question related to mindfulness, because I feel quite an expert on it, and I'm just getting started. What would be your a meditation app that you would recommend, or a mindfulness technique that has really helped you that you'd wish you'd known earlier?
That's a really good question. It's racking my brains because I actually don't use any apps, but I know there are really good ones that exist. My advice with mindfulness and meditation is that you can start to incorporate it into your daily life, and it can be a minute or you could be doing it for an hour. So often we kind of get, I think, overwhelmed with the idea that we need to go to a class, we need to go to a gym, we need to go there, we need to do that. It's an hour's thing. But actually, my mindfulness meditations practices like this should be about supporting your life. It's not about adding more stress to your life. So in whatever way, anything is good. Anything that gets us out of our head and into our body. For me, I find just sitting with my feet on the floor or lying down and just feel where the back, feel where the back of your body is on the floor, where the feet's on the ground, and then just start to observe the breath. Do that for a few breaths. Start to lengthen the breath and just start to allow the breath to become a little longer, a little more consistent. And just do that. Just watch the breath and feel the feet to the floor. I think we can overcomplicate it sometimes. But that's a really, really good start, just coming aware of our breath and feeling what's in contact with the earth.
That was a good answer. And anyone else got any questions? You guys don't have to wait for me. Just carry on.
Well, I'll go next then. So thanks, Christabel. We really appreciate you being really open with us and sharing a bit about your story. And I think that can help us and inspire us as well. And I think, especially around, I think anxiety and just general stress is something that's affecting all of us since the pandemic, and especially for younger people, whether you've got exams or, you know, some very young people have health challenges and caring responsibilities and stuff. And I guess I was going to ask about how you feel we can sort of connect with things like social media, but also, like, do you have any tips around that as well? Because it's such a great thing that we can communicate and share these messages and things like that. But at the same time, sometimes it can feel overwhelming with social media and the notifications and people liking pictures. And, you know, it's quite a new phenomenon as well. So I was just wondering if you had any sort of advice for our group and for some of the young people who are going to listen in who couldn't make it as well.
Yeah, thank you, Sat. I mean, yeah, it's just like a minefield of anxiety, social media. I mean, if you think about them, you know, anxiety often be a reflection of our mind and a very active mind. And you scrolling through Instagram, you get inundated with information. And I think, you know, remember that comparison is the thief of joy. And just looking at social media, it's very hard to not compare yourself to other things and not compare the situations that you find yourself in. And even though we all know that these pictures are posed and you don't understand, you can't see the complexity of someone's life and their emotional life, it's very easy to see these kind of glossy images. It's worse in a magazine because you know it's a magazine, but this actually is portrayed as someone's real life. So I think that, you know, just starting to become aware, I mean, there's things like reducing the amount of time that you're on social media, not following people who portray themselves in quite a superficial way and that's not in alignment with the things that you actually are interested in, but that you do it because culture is telling you those are the things that have value, but they don't make you feel of value, then they're not of value to you or to probably to anyone. But yes, so there's like those kind of practical things, but then just in a deeper way, I think, you know, when we see ourselves comparing ourselves to other people, it's not like you need to suppress it, but maybe just don't go down that rabbit hole and just start to focus on what you do have and what, you know, what's already going on in your own life. I was thinking about this yesterday and I just thought how crazy, because I used to do a lot more posing than I do now. And now it feels very unnatural. Something's shifted in my mind. It doesn't feel right anymore. So I was thinking, I wonder if, you know, in a few years or decades, we'll look back and be, I can't believe we used to post that stuff, because it's already happening a bit with Facebook now. Everyone used to write what they were doing and their statuses on Facebook, and now that seems quite odd. I don't know if that's the same for everyone. But I think that will happen with Instagram, and I think they'll all phase out, hopefully. But, yeah, don't attach too much importance to it, if possible, and reduce the amount of time that you're on it.
Thank you.
I think maybe Ayan's having some connectivity issues. But were there any other questions, final questions, before we wrap up?
I'd just like to ask a quick question, because I've been really enjoying everything that's been discussed so far. And it's like so much various topics that kind of, like you said at the start, kind of influence each other. And I really like the way that you spoke about how mindfulness and being present has impacted, like, helping you decide with, like, solving problems like these environmental issues. Is there anything else that kind of seems like it wouldn't be relevant, but you've really taken on board and really helped you on this journey? Like, I really liked you talking about the mindfulness and the yoga. Doesn't seem at first like it would be relevant for environmental, impact and activism, but then you're right, it completely is.
I think what informs, maybe not informs, but what helps to sustain the work is this sense of non-attachment. And in that way, that informs my personal life and my life through work and with Advaya and Eco Resolution. So it's about realizing that it's about how we can orient ourselves towards action and towards the world around us is actually something that's very personal and something that is in our power to choose how we decide to approach taking action for social justice and environmentalism. And the other thing that's really transformed the way I view all of this is realizing that, you know, what we're facing is a crisis of relationship. It's about the way that we relate to ourselves that causes so much mental health. Not all of mental health, but a lot of mental health. It's about the way we're choosing, not choosing, but the way that we are relating. The way that we relate to others causes issues in the ways that we're relating to the natural living world as well. And I think we often kind of think that climate change is the problem, but climate change isn't the problem. It's the way that humans relate to the world, seeing themselves as above and separate and other than the ecosystems that support them. Often in relationships, you think it's the other person who's the issue, but it's usually the way in which you're relating and understanding that person and attaching to them in a way that's maybe not right for the both of you kind of thing. It's generally not the other that's the issue. It's how we choose to attach, relate to it. So this idea of, you know, how like ways of relating is actually very connected to a lot of ancient indigenous knowledge, which talks about ways of being in the world. And I love this because it also really celebrates the diversity of human existence and all existence, ways of being in our world, and realizing that through becoming aware of our patterns, we're no longer prisoners to our habits, and that we can slowly adapt and refine the way that we show up to the world, the way that we relate to ourselves, others, and the natural living world. And I think that, and so there's a relating, the non-attachment, and also seeing that taking action is also about like environmentalism, social justice. It doesn't need to be, oh, I hope it doesn't need to be, often will be also, but a burden, but it can also be a means of carving out a deeper sense of connection, of belonging, of purpose. And in a world with so much mental health and issues and polarization, and I think this is so important, especially for young people as well at the moment.
Thank you. That's like just hit the nail on the head of everything I wanted to hear then. There's like so much packed into that answer, a lot to think about. Really appreciate it.
What sort of inspired you to start something from, like you said, you overcame some challenges, and would you have advice for the young people listening as well today, sort of about, you know, how you can overcome challenges and sort of what inspired you to start Advaya, and then also sort of what are the things you're would like to share with them that they could get involved with this year? That would be great, please.
I think what inspired me was that I started to read more. I read a book by a man called Satish Kumar, and he wrote a book called No Destination, Autobiography of an Earth Pilgrim. He walked from India to America in the 70s to protest nuclear arms. And I don't know why, but that book just changed everything. He said the house of the individual and the house of the planet, two sides of the same coin. And that kind of started me on a bit of a journey, leading me to here. I think with like challenges, is understanding that any challenge that's presenting itself to you can also be an opportunity to really learn and to really transform. They're not necessarily blockages. They're kind of, they're just annoying, but they're there to also let us kind of evolve and step up and to move on as well. And I think, you know, acknowledging, is there a community of people or a group or a network that's doing something that I can plug into? And if not, wow, cool, that's an exciting opportunity. Maybe I can do this. And if you feel nervous to do that, maybe you can find some support from people. Like I mentioned before, Eco Resolution would love to work to support you doing that. and things to get plugged into this year. It might not be for everyone, but there's the Extinction Rebellion in September. There's obviously Fridays for Future and all the protests which are going on. I think non-violent direct action is really key to systems change. But if that's not for you, there are many ways that we've spoken about in the past hour in which you can be involved in like this journey towards healing, whether it's within yourself or externally. And Advai is going to be doing this 9-month course where each month we look at a topic. So it'll be about the economy, it's going to be about mental health and addictions, it's going to be about relation, the way we relate, not relationships, it's general relating, and about food and farming. So we'd love people to sign up to that as well. And again, you can get bursaries and concessions if you like. And and yeah, I think that's Eco-Resolution is also doing an event, Cara and Vandana Shiva, who is an eco-feminist and a anti-globalization activist. And if you don't know about Vandana Shiva, I really recommend you look her up after this, because she is awesome, a powerhouse. So we'll be doing an event with them on the 28th of June. And yeah, I think just lots to get involved with. Eco-Resolution wants to be acting as like a conduit. There are so many amazing initiatives out there, like yourselves. But it can be really hard to find. So I think take that time to research what's going on around you, because chances are there's something incredible just a few blocks down.
Thank you.
Before we wrap up, I just wanted to say a comment, not a question. I just want to say thank you again for joining us in this call, because I was really able to relate with a lot of aspects that you were speaking about, like especially stuff around like anxiety, and especially like around this time. And like right now, you know, education for me, like it's finished as well. So it's just a lot about change, which has always been difficult for everyone. But like everything that you spoke about, mindfulness and yoga has really helped. And I think you always need to reflect upon yourself. And yeah, like you said, take a step back and take care of yourself. So everything that you said was really relatable. And thank you again for sharing it. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you. I know that you've already inspired like so much. I'm just looking through the chat, and Ian and everyone, they want to start like a collaborative, creative workshop around like poetry and art, all about the environment. So yeah, I know how inspiring this has been for everyone. Should we all just take ourselves off mute and give a round of applause to Christabel, please?
Thank you.
Wow, what an enlightening discussion. Thank you again, Christabel, for talking to us. There were so many topics covered in that discussion. I think we all needed a moment to kind of take it back and take it in. But we're so happy we get to share this with our audience and that we get to listen to it again. It sounds like we're going to listen to this over and over, and we'll take something new away from it each time. We really appreciate that. Everyone who listens to this at home, get in touch and tell us what you thought about this episode. You can find us on Twitter at @RF_tweets. You can find us on Instagram, Renaissance Foundation, and on Facebook, as well as going to our website. You can email info@renaissance-foundation.com. And just let us know what you think, because we really like making these episodes and we want to make them better and better and better. And we just want some feedback. So any feedback is good feedback for us at the moment. But yeah, if you like this episode, let us know and we'll definitely carry on this focus. This is definitely a topic we could go into a lot more detail about. So we really like this. Thank you again, Christabel, for making the time to talk to us. Thank you everyone who listened at home. Thank you to the young people for joining the session, getting really engaged, asking questions and taking something away. Thank you, Ian, for being our young person co-host. You smashed it this episode. And just thanks for being amazing. Definitely rate 5 stars, subscribe and share our content. We really appreciate it.